We often assume that this was a farmer. We call this man the rich farmer, but it just says he was a rich man. There's many rich men who know how to make money out of land and out of buying and selling, and are developers, but this was a man who had the future in his thinking and on his mind. And whether he's a farmer or not, I'm not 100% sure, but that's the title that he's gone by for many years. But he was a fool in the eyes of God. And God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Here's a man who's the very epitome of all that is successful as the world measures success. He is an industrious individual, no doubt. He has flair, he has enterprise, he scaled the ladder of success in his own day and generation, and no doubt his farm would have been the model in the whole countryside. The entire neighbourhood would have looked perhaps with jealousy, maybe with admiration upon its fame and upon its fortune. Such was the extent of his achievement. He thought of expansion. As he looked to the future, that was what was on his mind. His crops had been so bountiful that he needed extra room to store his goods. So plans were drawn up. But you, let's learn again tonight, plans without God in them is a fool's business. So he drew up these plans, and he was making preparation to build a new building, to house all of this extra produce that would be coming in. And he looked forward to the day when his barns would be so enlarged that he could just retire early, as it were, and take his ease, and eat and drink and be merry. However, his plans never materialized. Those new buildings were never erected, and the proposed extension never took place. And he never had the opportunity to retire early and to take his ease, to eat and drink and be merry. Because in verse 20, the voice of God interrupted his plans. And the Lord said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." I was thinking of this rich man, this perhaps rich farmer. And this was his last night, that side of God's great eternity. And that very last night, before he entered out into eternity, the last thing that was on his mind was that he would receive a divine summons to appear before Almighty God. This night. The text seems up to me as we come to the close of 2018. This is the last gospel night of 2018. It's the last Sunday that we'll gather together in this meeting house to preach the gospel. The gospel which urges sinners to flee from the wrath of God which is to come. And the final occasion always comes. And I want to put it to you this evening who are gathered in with us. And God has brought you in. And maybe you had different plans for this evening, but God overruled all of your plans in order to bring you here. And maybe you have different plans for the week that lies ahead, even for the new year that lies ahead. But I want to ask you the question, what if it should be the last night of your earthly pilgrimage? That the call would come to you from God, "This night I require your soul. I want to look at the warning that is given from this text this evening." I couldn't think of any other text to preach on this last night of this old year. I want to direct your attention, first of all, that this last night was totally unexpected. This was sudden news that this prosperous man received. There had been no, as we can gather from the parable that Jesus told, no telltale signs that death's icy grip was going to lay hold upon this individual. There was no slow or gradual decline of the physical body. He didn't get any previous warning of what was happening. And it was just a shock. One short, sharp announcement. And it was all over. It was all wrapped up so quickly. I have been with many who we've watched with them as they have died, and it never ceases to amaze me how quickly it all just comes to an end, and sometimes a very sudden end, even when we're expecting it. But here was a man, and he wasn't expecting it. And the shock wave spread round the countryside, through the community, because death had come so sudden. So unexpected. That's the way of life, men and women. In this past year that we've nearly seen out to its conclusion, there have been many sudden, unexpected deaths. It's very foolish for you and I to boast of what we might do in the new year whilst we have no guarantee that we're going to finish the old year. Would you turn over with me to the book of James? Just after the book of Hebrews. The book of James, chapter 4. We get here just a little glimpse of what we can measure life as. James chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Just a vapor. You know, to me, 2018 has just been like a vapor that's passed away so very quickly. And undoubtedly, I used to listen to older people say how quick the time goes, but undoubtedly, the older you get, the quicker it does go. Because you realise how much already has passed. It's not really that it goes any quicker, but as you look back, you've just years to look back on, and they've just all slipped away. Just like the vapour that appears for a little season and then vanishes away. On the basis of that, the apostle said, well, how can any of us say what we're going to do tomorrow? Whilst we have no guarantee of it. Now, I know sometimes plans must be made and we have to prepare. But I want to say to you, don't leave God out of your plans for 2019. And always put in that caveat, that little proviso, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Here was a man, and he expected rest. Leisure. This is the age of leisure and rest. Never more so in history of mankind has there been such an industry that has developed up around the leisure and the entertainment and the tourist industry. Never before in the history of mankind. It's the age of leisure and pleasure and rest. Just like this man. He might have been the exception in his day, but he thought he had worked long enough, hard enough. Now he could take his ease and he could legitimately and think of resting and enjoying his retirement. But as he lay his head on his pillow that night to rest, it became his deathbed. The night ushers in many fears for many people. Most of them are imaginary fears. Somehow or another, that creaking floorboard creaks 10 times louder at night than it does during the day, or that loose tile, or whatever that noise is, it makes much more of a noise in the night than it does during the day. Most of our fears are all imaginary. But there are many who lay their head on the pillow at night and they fear that they'll never see the dawn of the new day. What a terrible thought it is to waken up in God's eternity without being saved. Death came for this rich man when he looked forward to the future. We're all looking forward to the future. It wouldn't be truthful if we didn't say so tonight. We have already made plans, God willing, for 2019. In church life, we've had to make plans. If you want to book a preacher, you have to book a preacher now nearly a year ahead if you've any hope to get that preacher. So plans have to be laid and made. So all of us are looking ahead. This man was looking ahead. But he never saw ahead. He never saw the future. And no doubt many of you have made plans for the new year, holidays. With no sooner Christmas over than we're being bombarded with holiday brochures, and your life will not be complete if you don't make those plans and have them. Or maybe it's that new kitchen, or maybe it's that new car, or maybe it's that new extension, maybe it's a new house. Whatever it is, you can rest assured that there will be somebody who will try to convince you of the necessity of it, and you will never be happy if you do without it. Dreams and plans. There's no harm in looking forward. There's no harm in planning. But where's God in your plans tonight? Where's God in your plans for 2019? Have you committed the most important thing unto God? The keeping of your soul. The Apostle Paul, he spoke of that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He talked about committing his soul unto God against that day. Commitment. Oh, that's the word that so many people fear today. They do want to commit themselves. They do want to commit themselves. They do want to commit themselves in a relationship. They do want to commit themselves to work. They do want to commit themselves to church. But brethren and sisters, here is Paul, and he's committing all that he has, his very soul, to God against the judgment day. He was looking to the future. That day will come when we'll stand before the Almighty. And if you have not made preparation for it in life, it will be too late in God's great eternity. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're just like this rich man, this farmer, and you're thinking about the future, but you never thought God could take it away from you tonight. This night. This very night. This last night of 2018 for the gospel, God could take it from you. May I direct your attention, secondly, that the last night for this rich man was completely unavoidable. Sometimes we think riches buy everything. Well, riches buy most things, but they can't buy you eternity. This man ran a successful business. It went from strength to strength. He had a large country home that matched his position in life. I have no doubt it was furnished with every comfort that could be afforded in his day and in his generation. But when he came to the end of life's journey, he had to leave it all behind. And the Lord Jesus, he said in the light of this, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He had no riches Godward. They were all earthward. Where's your riches Godward? Where are the eternal riches that you have tonight? Because if you haven't got riches Godward, you'll die a spiritual pauper. And you'll be a spiritual pauper for all of eternity. That day, men and women will come for us all. And no matter how hard you have labored, no matter how much wealth you have accrued, you will leave it all behind. Someone else will come in and enjoy it. We've all known those types of characters around the countryside. They have worked hard all of their lives. And they've built up a farm or they've built up a business. And they never made preparation. And they never made any plans who would inherit it. And someone who never worked a day, who never sweated an hour, comes in and takes all of their hard toil and effort and soon dispenses with it in a short period of time. Why did the rich man find it all so unavoidable? Because, of course, it had been divinely appointed. He never thought God had an appointment for him. God has plans for your life and my life that are way above our plans. And here was an appointment for this man because it is appointed. Appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9 verse 27. As sure as the day of our birth is the day of our death. And barring the second advent, we all have to die. And at death we will go out into our eternal destination. And as God meets you at death, so you will be for all of eternity. And if God meets you at death, unprepared, unsaved, unconverted, that is how you will be for all eternity. This rich man found on his last night that he had no power to avoid it. You can read in Ecclesiastes 8 and 8 how in that day, in that hour of death, all power is taken away. Grace has come to an end. There's no time left to pray. There's no excuses. There's nothing to delay the execution of that sentence of death. The hour had come. A few summers ago, I went down to see the Crumlin Road prison. I would recommend you go to visit it. Went into that condemned cell. It was a very comfortable little cell. Little did the condemned person know that just behind the cupboard door was a walkway to the gallows. Two steps through the door and he was dead. That's like us. In our comfort, in our ease, little do we realize two steps up ahead we are dead. And nothing can delay it. Nothing can stay it. And nobody can hold on to you. We all like to think that we'll die with our loved ones around our deathbed. I hope it's so. If we have a deathbed. But they can't stop you from going. It's totally unavoidable. Death catches up with you before 2019. If death meets with you in 2019, will you die with riches that are eternal? Or will you just have built barns and storehouses and businesses here this side of eternity? I want to close by considering with you that this rich man was tragically unprepared. It wasn't his lack of intellectual ability that kept him from preparing. He wasn't foolish in the worldly carnal sense of the word. He was a man who could make money. There are many who can make money. He knew how to make money. He knew how to generate finance. He was wise for time, foolish for eternity. And there are multitudes around and along just like that. They're wise for time, foolish for eternity. Is that you? Let's not think of the general populace of Anna alone. Let's think just of those that God has brought in to this gospel meeting tonight. Is that you? Oh, would to God that all of you were as careful about laying up riches for eternity as you are about laying up riches in time. This rich man. He met death unprepared. Not because he didn't have time. He had time. He had years. But he'd wasted them all. How many years have God given you? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years? Can you really stand before the Almighty and say, "Well, Lord, you didn't give me time"? He's given you years. He has given you opportunity after opportunity to get ready, to meet God, to prepare to meet Him. He has given you so much time. But the last night's going to come. Some people foolishly imagine that if they never pray in life, God will give them time before they die. But I want to tell you, and I've been there when people have died, very few have thought about praying because they're so engaged in the battle to live. Time has run out. There's no time to pray. But there's time tonight. There's time to kneel and pray. There's time to confess your sin. There's time to call upon the Lord. There's time to seek the face of God and to call down the mercy of God. There's time tonight. Don't say, he didn't have time to die. Oh, he had all the time in the world, but he threw it all away. He was looking at things that would make him happy here. And he forgot about the things that he needed to prepare for God's eternity. What do you need to prepare for God's eternity? You need forgiveness. You need forgiveness from a pardoning God. You need that gift that we thought about this morning with the children, that perfect gift of salvation. And God comes and he doesn't say, "I'm not going to give it to you because you've refused it all year." He comes as at the end of the old year and he said, "There it is. It's yours, the gift of salvation, eternal life. It's yours if you take it by faith and embrace it. I bought it for you at such high price." That little infant who came as King of the Jews, he died with that title over his cross, the King of the Jews. He died as the great sacrifice for sin, and shed his precious blood that your soul and my soul might be set free. We've come to the end, brethren and sisters, of 2018 as with regards to the preaching of the gospel in this house. What opportunity you have had in those pews. What opportunity. And yet you've been given another one tonight. To seek the Lord, to call upon His name, to ask Him for His pardon and His saving grace. This last night, which could be your or my last night, I say to you, use it. Do not abuse it. Use it. And seek the Lord and call upon Him. And if you do, you'll start to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt or thieves break in and steal. And you'll have riches that far exceed the riches of this rich man. In the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. If I can be of any help to you, I'm here to help. Every Sabbath I'm here to help. I'm here to help every day of the week. But if anyone, young or old, would like to speak to me tonight, I'm here. But just count it a great privilege to spend further time with you around God's word this evening. Let's please unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the old year. We thank Thee for every opportunity given to us in 2018 to preach the gospel, to urge, to exhort, to plead with souls, to flee from the wrath which is to come, to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. And I just plead again with Thee this night that there would be one, even one in the gathering, that tonight would seek God and His grace and His mercy and close in with the Saviour. Perhaps there's one backslider in the meeting. Dear Father, I pray that they might find their way back to the Father's house. I pray for all who know and love Thee. I pray tonight, Lord, You'll help us to lay up treasures in heaven. Forgive us for building our earthly castles, that one day in the great day of Thy wrath will all be consumed and knocked down. Lord, help us to build, all of us, for God and for eternity. So we commend our way to Thee tonight. We thank Thee for another opportunity. Oh, I pray that as Jesus passes by again, that there will be those that will call upon Him for grace and mercy. Depart us now one from the other in Thy fear and with Thy favour. Take us back to our homes in safety and out into the week ahead and into the dawn of the new year with Thy blessing abiding and resting upon us for good. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of God the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us, each one, both now and forevermore. Amen.